Hi, I'm James, and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is November 13th, 2005. And it's really good to be here tonight. Sam, thank you for asking me to come up here. Actually, I got a call from Sam yesterday, and he said, "Are you ready for tomorrow night?" And I usually never forget, you know, if somebody's asked me to do something. But for some reason, you know, I forgot all about that, so I'm glad he called me. That would have been bad if I did. I've had a lot of stuff going on at work and just running around, so it just seems like I've been, you know, in a lot of different places at once. But it's really good to be here tonight. You know, I mean, this meeting brings back a lot of memories. You know, this is where I first got sober at, you know, and actually stayed sober. You know, I had lots of times where I, you know, I was started sobriety, but it, you know, I soon got drunk right after that, you know, and I started going to meetings in Charlottesville, and, you know, I kept, you know, I'd go, you know, for a few days, you know, I'd just kind of hang out in meetings, I'd get drunk again, and, you know, my brain would tell me that it was those meetings that was the problem, so I, you know, I'd drift a little further north, you know, and I'd wind up at Lake Saponi. And I, you know, I got drunk there, and then I'd shift a little further north to Greene County. And so Madison, you know, this was the last stop. You know, after this, I wasn't going to drive any further. I don't know what I would have done. I've just given up or something. But no, it's just real good to be here tonight. I was around alcoholics all day today. You know, spending some time in the car. You know, talking to people, getting to know people, and you know, for me, that's the, you know, the true gifts of this relation. I mean, this fellowship is the ability to build relationships with people, you know, open and honest, and, you know, sharing my experience with other alcoholics and actual friendships. You know, when I came to AA, I wasn't, you know, no more capable of being a friend than a man in the moon. You know, I was, you know, what can you do for me? You know, what can I get off of you? You know, give me something. You know, that was kind of my attitude, and I had about three people at the end that would kind of hang around me, but they weren't friends. You know, they were just, you know, drinking associates. So, you know, today, because of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, I've got a group of friends and people that I can call on no matter what, and they'll be there for me. And, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about my experience in AA, you know, what's happened to me, you know, what I'm like now, and, you know, and kind of a little bit about myself, and, you know, hopefully that'll be helpful to somebody in this room, and you might be able to get a little something out of it. And I'll just kind of start from the beginning. You know, I was born in Charlottesville in 74, you know, typical, you know, middle class subdivision, nothing crazy. Two parents that worked hard, you know, they were together, you know, through thick and thin. You know, they fought like hell, but they stayed together, you know, that type of thing. And, you know, growing up, you know, I had a real rocky relationship with my parents. You know, even at a very early age, I started looking around at other people and comparing my insides to their outsides. You know, I remember like in age 8 and 9, you know, because, you know, there's, you know, my dad would come home drunk sometimes and like throw a phone through the window or flip the dinner table upside down. And I was like, you know what, when I'm over at my friend's houses, they don't act like that. You know, maybe if my parents acted like these people, maybe I'd feel better. So I was always started like seeing what I, trying to get something to fix my insides, you know, thinking that if I get this, I'll be okay. And, you know, growing up, you know, looking back on it now, you know, my parents were good people. You know, they made sacrifices all along the way so, you know, the kids could have stuff. You know, my dad still is. He's a hard worker. He's an honest man. If he says he's going to be somewhere, he's there. You know, he's accountable. He pays his bills. But I didn't see all that stuff when I was growing up. You know, all I could see is what I didn't have. You know, me. You know, I'll never forget when Christmas, you know, that brought out the true selfishness, self-centeredness out of me, you know, more than anything. I remember one Christmas morning, you know, there was presents up underneath the tree, and I went downstairs, And there was probably about 8 gifts or something for me. I can't remember how many it was, but I remember looking at it and saying, is that it? You know, and saying that out loud to my mom and dad, you know, is that all you got me? And, you know, that was just my attitude. You know, I just want. And, you know, I've never really felt comfortable inside. You know, I've heard that 1,000 times in AA, but, you know, I truly didn't. You know, I just did not feel right. You know, when I was around other kids, I always felt awkward. You know, I was frightened of people. You know, just the world seemed like a scary place. And the very first time I drank, it was, you know, it was like we have that experience, you know, and we're at my friend's house, and he's the kid that the dad's got the big satellite dish. This is the old days one that's, you know, the size of about half the size of that wall right there. And, you know, we're looking at stuff we shouldn't be looking at. And they got the big refrigerator in the basement just packed full of beer. And, you know, I'm 13 years old and, you know, drinking beer, you know, and I have that experience. You know, I get that buzz, you know, that alcohol gives me. And, I mean, I just love it. You know, I'm happy. I feel like I'm acting better than I've ever acted in my life, and I have found something that makes me feel good. And you know, I would chase that from about age 13 till age 30 until I came in here and out of answers and just out of hope. I didn't start out as a daily drinker at age 13, but that kind of would set the pace for, you know, my life. You know, growing up, I had it instilled in me, you know, what's right from wrong, you know, stay away from the bad kids, you know, the bad news, I guess you call it, you know, the kids that were smoking pot and all that stuff. But, you know, I just got something inside of me that, you know, just makes me gravitate towards bad things. You know, it's just, you know, I'm just built that way. And, you know, growing up, you know, the older I got, just the crowd I was around just got worse and worse. And, you know, I was a chameleon. I could just fit in with any crowd that was at school. You know, I could hang out with the Grateful Dead crew, you know, the tie-dye and all that stuff, you know, and then the athletes. You know, I played sports in school, and so I could hang around that crowd, you know, the party animals, you know, that, you know, I was around that. You know, I could fit into whatever environment that I was around at the time to act a certain way that I thought people wanted me to act like. And the whole time, you know, I'm just drinking. You know, and early on, you know, my drinking, even in high school, was just, it's just above and beyond what other people were doing. You know, it's just, you know, just, I don't know when to say enough is enough. You know, I'm always, you know, blacked out, you know, waking up in my own vomit. And it always winds up there for some reason. I'm alcoholic. You know, I managed to do next to nothing in high school. You know, instead of being up in my room studying, I was listening to Pink Floyd and blowing marijuana out of a, inside of a paper roll towel filled with airsoft or fabric. Whatever the hell that stuff is, and I was blowing it out the window, and I was supposed to be studying. And you know, that's, you know, I'm not a guy that can work and drink and be successful at work, or I'm not a guy that can drink and go to school and be successful at school. I can do one or the other. You know, that's it. You know, I can't do both. So in school, I managed to get 325 out of 329. You know, only 4 people did less than I did. So I graduated school with basically, you know, at the bottom. And my parents saw the way I was headed, you know, where I was going. And my dad borrowed money that he did not have to put me into a postgraduate program at a military school. And so at this school, I was told, you know, when to wake up, when to study, and when to go to sleep. It was very structured. And in that environment, you know, I didn't have, you know, alcohol wasn't readily available, you know, and I didn't have other stuff to, you know, keep me going either. So, I mean, I was basically sober and doing what everybody else was doing. And my grades came up. And, you know, I always thought I was an idiot, but I learned that I could actually get good grades. So I, you know, kind of kind of scraped it together. And when it was time to make my decision on going to college, I knew that if I went to a regular school, that would have been bad news. That was, you know, not for me. My friends that I, you know, had gone to visit at like Radford and Virginia Tech, you know, I just saw that life. You know, I just saw the way that all the, you know, everybody looked. You know, when I walk into a room at a college party, everybody looks like they're connected, like they've got friends, they're attractive, they're happy. And when I walk into that room, I just feel inadequate. I just feel like I don't belong. Everybody's doing something better than I'm doing. My mind's going 1,000 miles a minute, and it's always, and the back of that is telling me I'm no good. And the only thing that I know that fixes that is a drink. You know, and when I have that one drink, you know, I can't stop. And so what happens is that stuff I thought that was going to help me fit in, you know, I go overboard. You know, I'm at a, you know, a college out of town, and, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, blacked out at somebody's house that I don't even know. And, you know, I didn't start off to, I never wanted to get to that point, but that's what would happen. So when I was making my decisions for college, I was like, I need to keep this military thing going because at least I won't drink so much. And so I went to a military college, and it worked for a couple years. You know, I fit in. I was doing what everybody else was doing. I excelled. But, you know, alcoholism doesn't stand still. It's a progressive illness. And for me, you know, it progressively got worse. You know, I'd be real good for, you know, I could go a month sometimes without taking a drink, you know, at school. And then that first crack that I got out of it, it was just, you know, it was just out of control. You know, I was, you know, there was this liquor back in the day. It was real popular. It was called Fighting Cock. It was like 113 proof bourbon, or Sam probably knows. It's just this horrible bourbon. And, you know, I drank a whole liter of that in about an hour. And, you know, it was just passed out in the barracks floor, you know, just drunk out of my mind. And, you know, that's just that phenomenon. It's just like, you know, my body reacts different to alcohol than a normal drinker. You know, I know, like, now that I'm sober, I don't see people doing that stuff. You know, like when I'm at parties, you know, I just don't see people getting that bad off. And so, I mean, and after about, you know, the thing with alcoholism for me is, you know, I always had like these little things that said, you know, I'm never going to do this, or I'm never going to do that, or if it ever gets this bad, then I'll do something. Well, I started doing all of that stuff, you know, and then all of that stuff just became normal life, you know, and just, and then the worse my behavior got, the more I had to stuff that stuff down inside of me. And until finally, you know, I was just like, the hell with it. And I left, you know, I left school, you know, I kind of came up with a new plan, and, you know, I just couldn't keep my grades together. And I started the job that I have right now. You know, for some reason, I've been able to hold a job for 18 years, you know, even in, you know, active alcoholism. And there was numerous times I should have been fired, you know, doing stuff like taking the company truck out and then, you know, going into a blackout. And I wouldn't, like, the next day, the guy was asking my cousin, goes, my cousin worked on me. He's like, where's James at? And he's like, I have no idea. And, you know, and I would wake up about 10:30 in the morning, just sheer panic at some place that I didn't know where I was at, and have to go find the truck and drive it back to the farm. And, you know, the guy, they just never fired me. I just kind of scraped by. And, you know, my early 20s, you know, it just kind of took off. And, you know, alcoholism's progressive, and, you know, the consequences are progressive. And I started getting in trouble. You know, I got a couple of criminal charges back to back to back that, you know, landed me in trouble. And I wasn't I'm not a troublemaker. You know, when I'm not drinking, I'm not actively looking to get into trouble. You know, but when I'm drunk, you know, I'll I'll throw a rock through a window. I mean, you know, not every time, but, you know, if something's going on and it's like the thing to do, you know, I just don't know what's going on. And I was at a bar, and the bartender cut me off, and this is what they tell me. I don't remember. And I threw my glass at him and hit him in the face and got arrested for that and, you know, was in a lot of trouble. And then soon thereafter, I got a DUI, and so, you know, now I'm going to jail. And that's what got me coming to Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I was frightened. I was like, God, I'm going to go to jail. You know, because I was 24 years old. You know, and life to me was a joke. You know, I'm just like, I just don't understand the consequences yet. I just don't think that I'm going to go to jail. You know, I just don't think that that's going to happen to me. And inside of the courtroom, I remember I was too cheap to get an attorney. So when I got to court that day, my excuse was going to be I was in a blackout, so I didn't remember what happened. And I thought that that would, you know, be a good enough excuse. Well, the judge was like, no, he just gave me 6 months. And so that was that, and that was what got me coming to Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, I was not a good AA member, you know, when I first came in. I mean, I remember a few of you back from when I first came in. I think Nick and Wayne, I remember y'all in green. I used to come up there every once in a while on a Friday night, and, you know, I'd come late. I'd leave early. You know, I would curse in meetings. You know, I was just disrespectful. You know, and I heard people talking about getting a sponsor and taking the steps, and I just didn't want any parts of that. You know, I thought if I read the steps on the wall, that was a good enough for a program. You know, and I remember, you know, when I'd be real hungover or I did something real bad, you know, I'd really read the steps. You know, just take my time and really read step three and kind of drift off. And I just didn't know I just didn't understand what people meant by, you know, just let go. I mean, just total surrender. I just did not get it. And, you know, when I came in, you know, there was a charter hospital in Charlottesville. It was a treatment center, and that was my first meeting, and I was in an inpatient program. And I remember in that inpatient program, I was young. The people in there were old people. You know, they were like, all looked like they had white hair. They all looked like they didn't move well. And I mean, I was young, and I mean, and I immediately started identifying out. You know, I immediately started looking around at everybody's outsides and saying, I am not like these people. I'm too young. You know, I've got other stuff going on. And, you know, yeah, I'll admit I'm an alcoholic, but I'll let you know what I think alcoholism is. I'm not going to listen to what your description of it is. And plus, I know I got all the answers. You know, after 2 days of sobriety, I know everything. And that's kind of how I came into AA every time. And so early on, I got a sponsor in name only. The guy's still a friend of mine. I didn't do anything he said. You know, we played golf together a few times, but, you know, I wasn't telling the truth. You know, I would leave meetings. As soon as I left the meeting, I was either smoking something, or I'd get some beer and go home and, you know, drink at my house and hide it. You know, I remember early on there was a woman I was dating. So I was trying to impress her, and I was at this group, and they made me a cake because it was supposedly my year anniversary. And, you know, I'd been drinking the whole time. And I got up there, and when they asked how I did it, you know, I let it rip. I said, this is how I did it, you know, just straight face, just lying like heck, you know, just, and they ate the cake. And I think I got drunk the next day or something after that. I just wasn't ready, you know. And it's just, you know, I've heard, you know, some hang-ups to people in sobriety are, you know, age, you know, if you're too young, or if you have too much stuff, if you haven't lost enough, or, you know, I've heard different things. And for me, it was, I was young, you know, and I had a team of doctors that, you know, had told me I had other stuff. You know, they were well-intentioned, nice people, but they, you know, this was at the time when medication was really in its big boom, and the doctors were trying to put me on everything that came out. And that stuff just really appealed to me. You know, if you just a quick fix, life of purpose and surrender, I wanted the quick fix, I really wanted to believe that, I could just take a pill and wake up in the morning and just nothing would be wrong with me, and I could go to work, a good job, and get the woman I wanted, have a family, and just do what everybody else was doing, and then I'd be okay. And if I wanted to drink occasionally on a weekend, hell, I can do that too. I thought like that, and I just couldn't do it. And eventually what happened was I had to try every single thing that was out there besides Alcoholics Anonymous. If it was whatever came down the pike, I was ready to try it. I took bunches of different combinations of medications. I mean, at one point I was taking, antipsychotics, that after about 4 or 5 beers, my left lip would sag, and, you go into partial face paralysis, I would take medication that said, do not drink. Everything I took that said, don't drink alcohol, and I would put on like 20 pounds in a month, just a bloated just pig, I was taking all this stuff. I was lying to my therapist. I was going to AA maybe once or twice a month. And, just work was getting tired of me. I'd had the talks, you need to straighten up. This is it. You need to, get with it. And it was just, getting ready to crash. And one of the best things I ever did was I got back on hard drugs towards the end of my alcoholism, and what that did was that just sent me straight down the tubes, quickly, because I was taking this stuff to stay up to drink more, and I would, drink all weekend, not go to bed, not eat anything, and then if you do that enough times, you can't go to work and act like a normal person. The hangovers got weird, instead of just being sick to my stomach and, and just not feeling good, I felt like my whole body was electricity. I just felt like I was just constantly shaking, just a total nervous wreck, coming unglued. I couldn't take it anymore. And, finally, alcohol was the best 12-stepper for me that there ever was. I had to drink every single drink it took to get me to a point of being teachable. And I'll never forget my last drink. It didn't even rank in the top 1,000 of bad nights for me. It was uneventful. Nothing really bad happened other than that morning when I woke up. Something inside of me had snapped. And I've never felt like that in my entire life. And I could not imagine living life another day, either drunk or sober. I was done. If I'd have had the guts, I'd have shot myself right then and there. But I didn't. I picked up the phone. It was a Monday. I was a no-show at work. I picked up the phone and I called a member of Alcoholics Anonymous and I said, look, you've got to help me. I will do anything. And the guy told me that I needed to check myself into a treatment center and I needed to go talk to my boss at work and let him know what was going on. And it's AA and treatment centers are two totally different things. And normally I would be like, I'm not doing that, or I'd argue with you over anything. That guy that day could have told me to walk backwards from my house to Roanoke, and I would have done it. And so when he told me to do that, I did it. I checked into a hospital, and I went there to dry out, and that's what I used it for. It was basically just to get me out of my environment. And going back a little bit, from the time that I called that member of AA and said, look, you've got to help me, I'll do anything to not live like this anymore, I haven't had a drink since. And you know, and I, you know, my life is so much better than it was. I mean, it's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I'll take this over anything I've ever had, because it's the only life I've ever known that's been halfway decent. And in the treatment center, you know, I tell you, the best thing that place was for me was just reassertion that self-will is not going to work. Because when I was in that hospital, I saw everybody in there. They had a little game plan of what they were going to do when they got out. You know, some people were like, I'm going to get the job back. You know, I'm not going to date this girl. I'm going to try to, you know, get over here with this girl. And, you know, or somebody said, I'm going to move out of the house. Or just everybody had a little game plan on what they were going to do. And I had no plan at all. You know, I was like, I am toast, you know, and I was calling my sponsor every day from that hospital, you know, every morning at 7 o'clock, because he had asked me to call him at 7, you know, and I was calling him, and, you know, just crazy as a bed bug. But, you know, I tell you what, as bad as my life was at that point, I felt pretty good. You know, I felt calm, because for the first time in a long time, I had totally let go of the way I was doing things, and I was trying somebody else's way. And so I was just like, whew, just relief. And as soon as I got out of the hospital, I just dove headfirst into AA. You know, I started hitting meetings. You know, I had sponsorship with expectations. I know everybody's experience is different and people respond to different stuff. But I needed a total overhaul in AA. You know, I needed like kind of like AA boot camp. You know, because I had been coming in and out for so long, and I'd been just developed so many bad habits in sobriety that I just needed just a total different, you know, just somebody else's way. And my sponsor had me getting to meetings early, staying late, sticking my hand out, getting to know people. And, you know, I still can be, you know, I'm an introverted guy. You know, I really don't want to get out there and meet people. I want to be by myself. So, you know, getting to the meetings early and getting to know people was really important for me. Plus, you know, I had to, you know, join the herd. You know, I had to get with everybody else. And I got a job making coffee. I got a home group. And I got active. And the, you know, early on, you know, getting around an active bunch in AA, it's just kind of like school. If you want to get good grades, you hang out with the people that are doing well in school and kind of figure out what they're doing. You know, the same goes for sobriety. If I want what people have, like peace and comfort in their life, you know, I need to get with those people and start doing what they were doing. And I was around a group that was really active. You know, they'd get in the car, they'd ride to Richmond to a meeting. You know, they'd get in the car, they'd ride to, you know, D.C. to a meeting. Or, you know, they'd go to these conferences. And, you know, I just hopped in the car and I went, you know, no matter how I felt. And you know, that just slowly but surely, that feeling of my case is different just started to chip away. Because there was still a time very early on in sobriety where I thought I was going to drink again, because I always drank again. You know, even when I would pray to say, God, help me, please, you know, that switch in my brain would snap and I'd drink again, you know, even when I didn't want to. So I was suspect this time around in AA that, you know, this is going to fail too. But I did it anyway, because I really had no other choice. You know, it was the last house on the block. But going to these out-of-town meetings and, you know, these 15-minute car rides here and there with my newly formed AA friends, you know, I started listening to them talk about what was wrong with them and, you know, and how they felt when they weren't drinking. You know, some of the stuff they were afraid of. The intense resentments, you know, laying in bed at night and wanting to, you know, hit somebody in the head with a pipe, you know, just, you know, the problems with money, the fear of, you know, not measuring up. You know, I overheard these people talking about that stuff and laughing at most of it, And they had a piece about it, and they were sober like 5, 7, 8 years. And I said, and what happened in my brain was like, I was like, well, wait a minute. You know, I'm like, I get that. What they're talking about, I've got that same thing. Maybe if I do what they do, maybe it'll work for me too. And now that I heard that guy laughing about something that's just been torturing me, maybe I can call him up during the week when I got something bothering me and open up a little bit. And I just started making friends in AA. And, you know, I got, you know, very early on, I had a couple of good breaks. You know, I got a big job promotion at work. I got, you know, working with some people I just really liked. You know, I started, you know, I got some debts paid off. I got a new truck with, you know, my registration was paid, you know, my county tags were current. It was inspected, you know, just, you know, normal stuff. You know, I got a new bed, you know, I got some new clothes, just little things. You know, I just started getting a little bit better. You know, the first early sobriety is just rough. It's just bad stuff. I mean, you know, sobriety now can be rough sometimes, but, you know, I remember early on I was at a conference. And I was so nervous and so freaked out that my heart was skipping beats. And I didn't say a word to anybody because I was afraid of what they're going to think of me, you know, if I'm like having heart problems. And so when I got back to Charlottesville, I checked myself into the hospital and they were like, nope, you're fine. It's just stress related. You know, if you got two nodes on your heart that control rhythm and they fire. And if you get too tired or too stressed out, the backup one has to work, and that's what was happening with me. And, you know, it's just not sleeping and just you know, but slowly, you know, I just kept getting tied in, you know, kept going to the meeting no matter what, you know, because I drank no matter what, you know. And, you know, sponsorship for me has been just crucial, you know, and just having somebody that I'm accountable to. Somebody I can talk to about what's really going on, you know, because if I can't do that, I can't really do anything. The, you know, the life I have today is, you know, so I mean, today, you know, I was with other alcoholics, had a friend of mine ride over to my house and help me out. And he rode to the meeting with me, you know, and I tell you, you know, I've worked with animals in the past, and you don't want to leave an animal by itself. You know, it'll start acting crazy, you know, like cows. If you want to calm a cow down, you just put another cow in the pen with it, you know, and they'll be calm. And, you know, AA is a lot like that for me. You know, when I'm by myself, I'm a whole lot crazier than I am than when I get around other alcoholics. And the, you know, staying active, you know, it's, you know what? I think one time Merle came up here and talked a half an hour. I talked 37 minutes. I really don't have anything else to talk about. You know, I'm still very active in AA. I'm still at my home group every Thursday night. I've sponsored people. You know, I've worked with people that have gone back out and drank. You know, I've had friends that have, you know, relapse of just a good life. You know, I'm still sponsored. When I go home tonight, I'll thank God for my day and, you know, do step 11 in the morning. I'll get up, say a prayer and get back out there. You know, it's just normal life. You know, I've got a job. They count on me. I'll be on time, and it's a normal life. I'll take it any day of the week. So thank you.